What a beautiful name is the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby we might be saved. He is our rock, our foundation, the hope of our faith, our Savior. May we ring out with the Apostle Paul and say, I have decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Welcome, brother and sister in Christ, friend, wherever you may be listening from, old and young, to the kids out there, singles, teens, wherever life finds you, from my study to your living room or wherever you are listening. Welcome as we open God's Word and seek to better understand who our God is, how He has worked in history, and how we can learn to live in greater obedience to Him. Today we're going to begin a new study in the Old Testament book of Joshua. So please turn there with me in your Bibles, the Old Testament book of Joshua. And if you don't know where that is, look at the contents in the front of your Bible. You can also Google it. But it is the first book of the Bible that we find bearing the name of the main character. Now, humanly speaking, Joshua is the main character. But may we not forget that the main character in this book, and indeed in every book of the Bible, every verse of the Bible, is actually God Himself. Though He works through human agents and we learn from their examples, the Bible is meant to teach us about God, to teach us about His character, about His heart, His love, His holiness, how we might walk in obedience to Him, how we might find joy and satisfaction in Him, in this life, to live in the way that we have been created to be. Now, the book of Joshua, as we get into it, I'd like to ask a series of questions. Questions are wonderful to ask when studying any portion of Scripture. Why does this book exist? What does it teach us? Who is this person, Joshua? And why did God work the way He did? What lessons can I learn from this that teach me about the character of God? And how should I live based upon what I know about God, even in my life today? You see, we're asking questions. And if you want to understand God's Word well, just be a good question asker. The first question that I would like to ask this morning is, what is the book of Joshua about? Very simple question. You see, the book of Joshua is about going in and taking the promised land. In the book of Deuteronomy, which just precedes the book of Joshua, God has made a promise to the people of Israel through the Exodus and the 40-year wanderings in the wilderness that there would be a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where they would find rest, a land that God had set apart where His people could worship Him in freedom and in joy. So Joshua is the fulfillment of that promise. It's going in and taking that which God has said belongs to the people of Israel. It is not only a fulfillment of promise, it's the next step in redemption history, of God working history to bring about redemption eventually, even in the person of Jesus Christ Himself. The book of Joshua also acts as a little bit like a type of the Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, we are presented that Joshua is a type of Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? That the way that Joshua led the people of Israel in to take the promised land and to find rest is like how Jesus has gone in and taken the cross, fought the battle so that we might have eternal rest in Him. But the book of Hebrews says that whereas Joshua led the people in and they did find some rest, it was simply a foreshadowing of the eternal rest of heaven. So the book of Joshua is symbolic of the Christian life, fighting battles, facing challenges, victories, and defeats, all as we journey along towards that final destination of heaven where we will find everlasting rest. Richard Baxter, a famous Puritan, he loved to call heaven specifically the saints' everlasting rest. Even so much so that he wrote a book on it called The Saints' Everlasting Rest. The book of Joshua is also a story about a simple man with a deep faith, living out that faith, and God using him to fight a battle that would bring glory to him and again complete God's promises. So what is the book of Joshua about? Well, it's about all of those things. And to my scholars out there, we're not going to have enough time to chase every single angle. So here is what we're going to focus on. the book of Joshua, over the next few weeks and months, we're going to look at Joshua as he learns to trust in God one battle at a time. Learning to trust God one battle at a time. Isn't that something that you and I need to learn? Isn't that something that you and I struggle with? Learning to trust God one battle at a time. What are the battles that you're facing? I'm sure that many of us are facing battles related to the current coronavirus crisis. Maybe the battle is being quarantined with someone that is difficult. Maybe the battle is new rhythms of life. Maybe the battles are loss of job. Maybe it's the battles of uncertainty and the fear and just not knowing what's going to happen. Let us learn to trust God one battle at a time, just as Joshua learned to trust God one battle, one city, one conflict, even through victories and defeats, each step he took, faithfully looking to obey God. Second question. So the first question, what is the book of Joshua about? Well, learning to trust God one battle at a time. The second question, who is Joshua? Joshua, I'm going to give you four S's. This is the preacher in me. That Joshua was a soldier. He was a sidekick. He was a successor and a simple man of faith. He was a soldier. You see, we look in the 40 years of wilderness wanderings in the book of Deuteronomy and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, that Joshua makes an early appearance alongside Moses. Do you remember when they fought the battle against the Amalekites and Moses had to hold up his hands, and if his hands were up, they were winning the battle. If his hands were down, they began to lose the battle. Joshua was one of the main commanders in that battle. He was a battle-hardened soldier that had helped win victories for Israel against its enemies. He was also a sidekick to Moses. He worked alongside Moses. He was the one who kind of helped Moses and even accompanied Moses up onto Mount Sinai when God gave the law to Moses. He also became Moses' successor. When Moses died, Joshua became the leader of Israel that led the people into the promised land. He is perhaps one of the greatest generals and tacticians and soldiers that has ever lived. And yet, he wasn't like David writing sonnets and psalms. He wasn't giving great sermons like Moses. He didn't seem to be captivated by the law or oratory like Nehemiah or Ezra. He seems to be a fairly straightforward, simple man that had a deep faith in God, and God used him greatly. This man, Joshua, as we look at him, we have many character qualities that we come to admire. I would like to read actually a commentator's note on Joshua, and he said, "He, Joshua, has seldom been given the full credit he deserves as perhaps the greatest man of faith ever to set foot on the stage of human history. In fact, his brilliant career was a straightforward story of simply setting down one foot after another in quiet compliance with the commands of God. Trusting God one battle at a time." So what is Joshua about? Who is Joshua? And what is the first battle that Joshua faces? Well, let's begin reading chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 9. And I'd like to make a note that as we study through the book of Joshua, we're not going to be able to read every verse of the text that we study. There's just simply too much here. But today I would like to read chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, because it really sets the foundation for the journey that we're about to embark upon. Beginning in verse 1. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that your sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What is the first great battle that Joshua is going to encounter? It is the battle of the heart. You see, what God is calling Joshua to is, Joshua, are you going to follow me with your whole heart? Are you going to obey me? Before you ever fight a battle out there, you have to make the decision in your own heart, are you going to serve me unreservedly? Are you going to obey me? Are you going to live in accordance with my promises and with my law? Joshua has been commanded by God to go in and take the land, the promised land that God promised to Moses. So again, we see that theme of God fulfilling his promises and giving the land to the people of Israel. The promise is also that everywhere you place your foot, you will own it. It shall become yours. The foot is symbolic, placing your foot on the land of one's ownership of that land in ancient Near Eastern culture. That this land that you own will extend to the great river Euphrates all the way down into the Negev and to the great sea. You shall own it. It shall be yours. It shall be your place of rest. And Joshua, if you doubt that I will be with you, let me assure you, just as I was with Moses, the Moses who brought the people of Israel out of the greatest empire the world had ever known, Egypt, defeating their gods with the plagues, crossing the Red Sea, taking care of the people in the wilderness. Just as I was with Moses, Joshua, I will be with you. So don't fear. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry. Trust me. Joshua, will you follow me? See, that's the first great battle that he faces. And it's perhaps the greatest battle that any of us will face. Before we do anything great for God out there, the question is our heart in line with God? Are we devoted to God? Do we believe in him? Are we committed to following him whatever it costs us? Or are we only relegated to following him as long as it's convenient for us? What is the first great battle? The battle of the heart. Now, what does this passage teach us about God? What does it teach us about the way that God works? Well, God says, I will be with you. You will have my presence. Now, let's not miss out on the significance of the statement. This is the God who doesn't give stuff. He gives himself. Now, kids out there and to everyone else, if your parent comes to you and says, I'm going to give you whatever you want. I'm going to give you stuff. Now, on the first pass, you may say, wow, that sounds great. But you know, that stuff is all of a sudden not going to mean much when you need a shoulder to cry on, or you need protection. Or like many people are facing in the world today with the coronavirus, who would gladly trade their millions and billions of dollars if they could just simply have security knowing that they're going to get through this. You see, there's nothing more precious that God can give than his own presence. In other parts of the world, you know, in the West, we value commodity and products and stuff largely, not an exclusion, but largely. And in other parts of the world, there is a primary value on relationship, on being able to be with those whom you care about. Now, God says there's nothing more precious than his presence, and he's going to give all of himself. So likewise, going back to that illustration, kids, if your parent says, you know what, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be a shoulder to cry on. I'm going to be with you on the mountaintops and in the valleys. I am going to protect you. I'm going to encourage you, and you will always have me at your side. Tell me, is that not the greatest gift that one can give? Parents, though, how often do we try and buy our kids love by giving them stuff instead of giving them our attention? Instead of giving them our focus and leading them in paths of righteousness and obedience to God. Now, God's presence with Joshua does not mean that Joshua is not going to face obstacles, challenges, and even hardships. But there's a promise that I will be with you through them. Likewise, parents, a challenge to you. You, in your love for your children, you may want to try and keep them from having to experience the discomforts of battles that they will face in this life. And yet, just like God knew that these battles were the soil from which faith might grow, likewise, the battles that your children will face are opportunities for their faith to become their own. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that we just dump them into the world and just hope for the best and expose them to things that are not holy or righteous. That's not what I'm saying. But give them your presence. Give them your time. And then walk with them through the battle so that their faith becomes their own. Let them learn to trust God one battle at a time. Stop trying to remove every obstacle. Rather, be with them through the battles, just like God was going to be with Joshua. Now, God says, I will give my presence to you. This is an unconditional promise. It's not dependent upon the way that Joshua lives or makes victories or mistakes. His promise, God's promise to Joshua and to Israel, even when you disobey me, I promise I will be with you. It is God's grace. It's his unconditional love and his covenant promise to be with his people. But God also expects us to be obedient to him. That's why he tells Joshua, be careful to do everything that's in my law. Make sure that you speak it, that my law should not depart from your mouth. If you love my law, you're going to talk about it. Just like if we love God's word, we're going to talk about it. We should meditate on it day and night. It should be on our thoughts and our minds. We should saturate ourselves with God's truth. Likewise, we are to obey God's truth. One of the challenges that we have in our society is not that we need more information, but rather we struggle with obeying even that which we already know. In the church, we're thinking, oh, if I just had more truth and more knowledge. Now, more knowledge about God is always a wonderful, beautiful thing. But you also need to put into practice that which you already know. Tell me, brother and sister, when is the last time you've made the conscious effort to obey something that you read in God's word that day? Sometimes we read God's word and we just store it away as information instead of, okay, I learned something about God. Now, God, how do you want me to obey it now, today? God told Joshua, Joshua, I'm with you. Believe me. Don't be discouraged. Trust me. Have faith. But a true living faith will demonstrate itself in obedience. This is indeed the heart of the law that we find that Moses gave in Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. Love him. And then obey him. That demonstrates your love. God tells Joshua, Joshua, if you want success and victory, obey me. Now, this is very important to understand. God is not saying, I'm going to leave you if you don't obey me. He's saying, I'm not going to give you the blessings if you don't obey me. In other words, obedience is the context in which God pours out his blessings. It's the same in the Christian life. God has promised and given us his presence, has given us salvation. It's a gift. It's something that he pours into us. When we trust in Jesus Christ on the cross, God gives us himself. And nothing can take us away from that, including our own mistakes, including when you fail and sin. But it is holiness and obedience that enables us to experience the fruit of that salvation. In other words, Christian, you can be saved, but you live a life that robs you of the joys and the fruits of that salvation because you're not keeping and following God's commands. You're not living a holy life. It is possible to be a miserable Christian because you have too much of your heart anchored in this world. You are not diligent about keeping his law and his commands. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with being able to enjoy the blessings of salvation. It has to do with you testifying to the reality of your faith. Well, likewise, Joshua, if you want victory, then you need to obey me, because it is in the context of obedience that God blesses. So what does this teach us about God? Faith is important, knowing that he is with us. But that true faith is going to live itself out in obedience, and that we are going to love God's law, or for us, love the Bible, love his word. That's why we preach it and teach it and take time to understand it, because we want to be like Joshua, so that God can pour his blessings into our outstretched arms of obedience and be used greatly to build his kingdom, to face each battle with joy, knowing that we're taking one step closer to that everlasting rest of heaven, and that we can stand before God and that we can hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I mean, I want that. I hope that's something that you desire too. As we begin this epic journey of Joshua, let me ask my last question. Are you willing to courageously trust God and to courageously obey and to learn to trust God with each battle that comes forward? Stop worrying about all the battles of tomorrow. Learn to trust God with the battle today. Learn to trust God with the little things today. Learn to trust him and fight that first battle in your heart. Oh God, that what you say, I will do. I'm going to rest in your presence, in the security of your love. But God, help me to live out that faith like Joshua did by obeying your commands. Let's begin this journey together. Let's see how Joshua learns to trust God with each battle that comes. And let me ask you, are you going to learn to trust God, beginning with the battle of your heart? Are you fully devoted to him? Are you today going to put into practice that what you have learned? Let us do it together. Let us challenge each other, pray for one another, and encourage one another as we're on this Christian journey until the Lord in his all-knowing wisdom and grace and goodness sees fit to bring us home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for my brother and sister. Give them strength this day. Glorify yourself through your church. And if there's anyone that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that they would reach out and contact us, that we might sit with them and show them how they might be saved. Help us all to live out the faith, the reality of your presence, O God. May we journey faithfully as Joshua did until, O God, you bring us into that place of everlasting rest in heaven itself, in the joys of your presence forevermore. We ask your blessing upon this day, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.